Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi.
Yes, Sci-Fi, 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 a podcast in which one of our members is grinning like an idiot right now for reasons unknown to me.
And we're saying the word future a lot recently.
Yes, well, we can throw that in as a subscription bonus. You can hear Kevin go through all of the combinatorics of in the future for reasons unknown to me.
Or anyway, me.
Or possibly anyone.
I'm not even sure Kevin knows.
Anyway, who chose this book?
I did.
You did.
Yay.
All right. What are we reading?
Last Year by Robert Charles Wilson.
Who narrated it?
Scott Brick.
And what's on the back of the book?
Two events made September 1st a memorable day for Jesse Cullum. First, he lost a pair of Oakley sunglasses. Second, he saved the life of President Ulysses S. Grant. In the near future of Robert Charles Wilson's Last Year, technology exists to open doorways into the past, but not our past, not exactly. Each past is effectively an alternate world, identical to ours, but only up to the date in which we access it, and a given past can be reached only once. After a passageway is open, it's the only road to that particular past. Once closed, it can't be reopened. A passageway has been opened to the version of late 19th century Ohio. It's been in operation for most of a decade, but it's no secret on either side of time. A small city has grown up around it to entertain visitors from our time, and many locals earn a good living catering to them. But like all such operations, it has a shelf life. As the natives become more sophisticated, their versions of the past grow less attractive as a destination. Jesse Cullum is a native, and he knows the passageway will be closing soon. He's fallen in love with a woman from our time and means to follow her back, no matter whose secrets he has to expose in order to do it.
I don't remember that happening exactly, but okay.
Hey, it's the back of the book.
Everything on the back of the book technically did happen, but it...
Yes.
This is also unusual in that I've never seen scare quotes used quite so often. It's got natives in quotes, past in quotes, several times.
Scare quotes?
Yes. You know, when you aren't really sure if this word means what you want it to mean, so you just say, oh, it's not the past, it's the quote past, unquote.
Okay, I guess I haven't heard the term scare quotes.
Well,
you know, is that like Scarecrow?
And Mrs. King, yes.
And, okay.
And wagging fingers in air?
Yes.
But not that kind of wagging.
No, that's annoying quotes, not scare quotes.
All right, so this episode of Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
It technically works.
You're waving your hands around like a Jedi. Anyway.
It worked, didn't it?
No.
You got what I meant.
This is not the droid you're looking for. Kevin, what did you think of this book?
I actually liked it. I am a sucker for time travel books, but I did like the slight variation on the forking timelines trope.
Forking timelines.
Yes, forking timelines.
Is it a three-time fork or a four-time fork?
It's more of like a double-ended Y with the little nodal point in the middle. But
or is it a spork?
Why would it be a double? No, never mind. Don't tell me.
it depends how you look at it, but...
It's a matter of perspective.
It's a trident, you might say.
It sounds delicious.
Yes, it sounds delicious. I do eat my utensils too.
Well, no, since I learned about trident chewing gum long before so when I first heard about, I guess Poseidon with his trident.
He was chewing gum.
I couldn't understand why he had chewing gum.
Well, that is a big part of, Greek mythology and stuff like that. It's yes, chewing gum.
The consumer products that the gods consumed.
Is it spearmint gum?
Yes. Well, no. The spear, that would be... I have no idea. Nothing.
That's why he wants the money to cross the river, because he needs to buy gum.
Gum, yes. Well, there's a vending machine in hell.
I'll take a packet of +6 Hades gum. Thank you very much.
All right, so Kevin.
Anyway, yes, I'm sure this happened somewhere else, but I can't remember offhand where, you go back to the past, you change the past, so it forks off an alternate timeline, but it forks off a timeline that is not yours. So your timeline is still sort of fixed, so you can still go back to your future. So unlike Back to the Future, you don't have to worry about going to the future, and now it's your forked timeline. It's actually... You go back to your future and you're just forking off their timeline, essentially.
Right. There was a short story called Mozart and Mirror Shades. I forget who wrote it that I read way back, where it was something similar to this, except they weren't trying to preserve the past. They were actually trying to sell stuff to the people in the past. So, So Mozart was this, this punk going around saying, call me Wolfman. sounds more modern.
I guess this was written in the 80s sometime.
Yes. Yes, I believe it was.
Yes.
Rock me, Amadeus.
Right around that time. Yes.
But yes, I did like that in general. At the beginning, I'll say I was a little confused about what was happening. At first I thought, is this like Westworld or something? It's like a theme park. You know, hadn't read the back of the book, which I usually avoid. And
not something that our listeners have to worry about because we shove it into their ear holes.
Yes.
Even before the spoiler section.
Yes.
Don't worry. The back of the book was not shot. but as they say at the very beginning, you know, he's most concerned about his sunglasses, his Oakleys get smashed. And so for a second, I'm like, oh, so he's in the future, but why is it Wild West? That's weird. You know, maybe there's some weird time mixing going on or something. Is Wild West in the future? I don't know. And then I thought maybe because I thought the Oakleys were a relatively recent brand. I'm like, maybe I'm misremembering the brand. They actually started in the 1800s or something. And like,
they were invented by Annie Oakley.
Yes. Jesus. That would be awesome. Which I was kind of trying to figure out. Maybe, yeah, something weird like that, although I didn't think of Annie Oakley. I did look up this morning just to make sure. Yeah, it was like 1975.
Your experience of this book so far has been vastly different than mine.
Yes, considering that I read the back of the book, or at least the first two sentences of it.
Yes, yeah, so yes, we can get into even more spoilers later, but
that's kind of the point of the later part.
Yes, well, like I said, I don't feel too bad for spoiling things that were already on the back of the book. But overall, it was an amusing time travel-y thing.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that blurb being on the back of future editions of that book.
Totally.
It was
bigger than the title of the book.
Yeah, I actually really liked it. One of the things that I liked was Jesse, our main character. He was just believable enough as a character from the past, but they had to work really hard to make him, you know, a guy that would be acceptable to modern sensibilities. You know, he's competent. Oh, right. He's sort of chill. He doesn't have a problem with women having equal rights and so forth. He's not racist. And they're just like, well, he grew up in Chinatown and he was exposed to all these different people.
Right. He grew up in a whorehouse, so it was okay. Right.
Yes. So there was a lot of work creating the exact sort of person that we could actually comfortably inhabit in this world.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think how hard you would have had to work.
It sort of started out as this buddy cop drama. You know, he's from the past, she's from the future. Together they fight crime. Stuff that may not technically be a crime at the time, but is kind of more or less crime.
Well, technically one would be from now.
And the other No. It's from 2030.
What?
No.
Well, they're in the past. He's a local.
Sure.
Right? So he's from now, she's from the future.
Yes, thank you.
One of them comes up with a concept. The other one needlessly picks holes in it. They don't fight crime.
If only this was like Ghostbusters or something, you know? Slimer came through the mirror.
This is exactly like Ghostbusters would be in real life. Anyway.
Exactly.
The only quibble that I had was there's sort of a hard stop in the middle because the buddy cop movie sort of ends at a certain point and then we get to a sort of more sophisticated story. But right. There's this sort of bit in the middle where you're sort of waiting for the narrative to kick up again. And that was like when I first stopped listening because I had been driving down to Gallifrey One, the Doctor Who convention.
Yay.
And we stopped off. My wife and I stopped listening there and then sort of started up again as we were driving up. And there's this sort of narrative lull that happens at the beginning. We're just like, I mean, this is all good, but is it going anywhere? So
did we miss something?
Right, exactly. But it was really an enjoyable book and I do recommend it. Okay, Barry?
Thumbs up.
His thumbs are actually not up.
Well, they can't actually see my thumbs.
They can now.
It was actually an interesting take on a time travel based adventure where it's the focus isn't so much on the actual act of traveling through time, but the sort of the effects of it and how people would perceive what's going to happen in the future. So I thought that was actually an interesting portion of the book.
Cool.
Right, not everyone was happy about equal rights and so forth.
That's right, those uppity women's get the votes in the future.
All right, well, Just like the time travelers in this book, we're only able to keep from revealing spoilers for a very short period of time. So we'll be back to wreck the timeline in just a minute, for we are sci-fi.
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 And we're back. So, following our usual questions, did we have any favorite scenes? No, we didn't. Okay. Did anybody actually have any favorite scenes?
I really actually enjoyed the running gag of the Oakleys.
Yeah.
It was just enough humor to...
Right. So the main character has these Oakley sunglasses that are supposed to be just, you know, given out to all employees, but there's a chronic shortage of them, and we gradually find out why, that they're actually being sold by huge amounts in the black market in the past.
Yeah. But he does spend an awful lot of time preoccupied with trying to find the pair that he first broke.
I broke my Oakleys. And they're just like,
just go to the supply closet and get some more.
Just like, they didn't have any.
Oh, well, I'll fix that, and calls the secretary.
Right.
Play your cards right and you'll get all the Oakleys you want, kiddo.
Right. It's like, yeah, by the way, which one's pink?
What? We're doing Pink Floyd the Wall now? Have a cigar.
Whatever.
From Wish You Were Here, have a cigar. Today on Pink Floyd Talk.
It's a new section of our podcast.
Or P Talk.
Yes. Okay, let's see. I particularly liked the scene where our main character is trying to pay the lady cop a compliment. And so he says, you talk like a whore.
Yes.
And it's just like, no, it's not an insult. I was raised by whores.
So that makes it okay.
Yeah, she's still like, he's like, no, I mean, you know, they'll speak their mind. That's what I meant. Don't kill me.
Let me explain.
Yes.
Don't hit me.
We were saying before that the narrator, Scott Brick, he was very well paired with this because he's got this sort of solemn voice with a lot of gravitas.
Yeah.
And so... he had this, he kind of gave Jesse a certain dignity and had this sort of Determinator quality of, okay, I'm just going to do that. So have him say, no, I was raised by whores.
Probably. He's like, is this a line you thought you would ever say?
And I was not Richard Pryor.
Thank you, Barry. Okay, any other favorite scenes?
It wasn't a specific scene, but I did kind of like the section of the book where he kind of became the friendly bounty hunter. He wasn't out to forcibly bring people back because they didn't have the sort of the legal right to do that. But the runners that decided that they were going to go live in the past.
Right.
And he was kind of like traveling the country saying, hey, we're going to close up shop in a couple months. You sure you don't want to come on back and go back to the future?
Right.
And this is your last chance to get back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, that took place sort of after this narrative lull where he was...
Right.
And so it took me a while to figure out that he was still working for the company and doing this, not that he was doing some kind of bizarre side scam.
I didn't think it was a scam, but yeah, I was trying to figure out at first what was he doing suddenly and why it was so different. But my guess is that it was sort of the author was sort of like, hey, I wanted to cover this sort of topic and it worked better in this context, so...
And it did work. It made me sort of wonder if this was a collection of short stories or something that had been released in smaller form originally. But I don't know if that's true or not. I think it probably isn't.
Yeah, but he goes to the, you know, the one woman that he talks to quite a bit, except for the guy who wants to go, you know, kill Hitler in the alternate timelines.
Right.
Yes. Which that was kind of amusing the way the company dealt with that.
It's just like,
yeah.
Yes. You know, okay, we're just going to put a bunch of stuff in place to make it so that Hitler won't be conceived.
Right. They're like, well, we're not supposed to mess with the future, but of course it's not our future, so we don't care that much, but we still kind of make it a policy. And so we have to kind of try to prevent this guy from basically taking out a hitman and go kill Hitler's parents. And they're like, well, but, you know, since this is happening, I guess we'll tell the government, by the way, this guy is, you know... kid's going to be crazy, so, you know, maybe if you do this stuff, you could prevent it from happening. I guess it was one of the standard, like, kill Hitler, stop JFK from being killed, kind of the two big history-changing tropes, right? Like,
I do keep on thinking about all of the bizarre things that could have prevented JFK from being killed. You know, just the weather being different that day. It's so bizarre.
Right. Like a windy day instead.
Put the top up.
Like, right. You know. No. Yeah. No. It was looking like rain that morning. And so they would have had the top up over the car.
Yes. Well, you could make some sort of forking timeline of like all the things that could have happened, or maybe they could swap Hitler and JFK. So, you
know, that right may have been what happened. That was
right
the
at
big
that
conspiracy.
Moment, Hitler gets killed, you know, by a lone quote gunman.
And that's how we ended up with a bunch of pictures of Jack Yeo over Hitler's, you know, brainless body.
Other bizarre alternate history.
There's this confused look on her face.
Good and solid reason why we're not allowed time travel technology.
And then there's Kennedy, you know, with his brains missing in a bunker in the World War II.
I am not at all sure if I should leave this in the recording.
I immediately thought of actually ways to commit more interesting crimes, but
once again,
a surprise.
Once again, I think we would make a rather disturbing super team if we had time travel technology.
Well, and then, you know, I thought the other interesting part really was when he, you know, he meets the woman who had sort of like idealized the past and kind of thought she either had past lives in this time period or sort of like lived in her mind in the past, kind of, and always wanted to do that. And so, you know, finally she and her husband go back and she's just like, screw it, I'm living here. So So she like, you know, just takes off, but then she basically goes on this big monologue how like, yeah, there really aren't equal, you know, women rights, and just even like being in public doesn't really work out, you know, right. Just so she's like, I'm always, oh yeah, my brother got killed, you know, my husband just got killed, my husband, you know, right. Whatever was in the war.
And long excuses for having civil rights.
And, yeah. And so then finally she's like, I basically boarded myself up in this, you know, boarding house and just like to sit here. So yes, you can take me home. Ah, like, you know, this kind of sucks, even though I thought it would be awesome. Like,
right. I have miscalculated.
At the same time, yeah, they worked fairly hard to not mythologize the future that, okay, yeah, it's better than now, but sorry, it's better than now, the past, right. But you know, people still are wage slaves. People are still, have horrible things happen to them, have to fight in wars.
Right. And so, yeah, I thought that was good that they kind of did it both ways, and they definitely went out of their way to keep it mysterious for the people at the time, because at least, you know, the guy who runs it, August Kemp, sort of treats like a theme park. Right. You
right.
Know? And so another kind of like, you know, I was like, is this kind of like Westworld or something? You know, like really not, but you know, at the very beginning, it kind of seemed like it. Like,
so yeah, I kept on expecting the big reveal, the part where the conspiracy is revealed or something like that.
Right.
And
it actually just plays out much more simply than that.
Yeah, it's just like, nope. The guy is exactly as corrupt as he says he is. I mean, it's just like...
Right, and it's not even like really, really corrupt. It's more like just capitalist corrupt.
Garden variety corrupt.
Yeah, he's just trying to make a lot of money.
Exactly.
He's not trying to like twist some time thing or...
And you guys call me a monster for trying to invent time crimes. That would help benefit me.
Time crime. Wow, that's an awesome band name or something.
It's actually the name of a movie. It's kind of a creepy movie, but okay. Worth a watch.
Okay, and that makes you really not want to watch it.
Yes.
But yeah, they kind of, you know, they do say, well, obviously they have all this technology, so they can't totally hold out on the past, because then the people get kind of like, seriously, you know, you're going to stop, you can deal with all this like medical issues, and you're just like, enjoy your syphilis, losers. Like, you know, so.
Well, it's one of those things where you're traveling back into the past. You've got all this technology. Do you have a moral obligation to share it with this timeline?
Well, especially right. Since you know you're not going to affect your future.
In fact,
we're talking about moral obligation here. Now, morals are this thing that some humans have.
No, I meant that with all sincerity.
Yes, I know.
Damn you people.
well, I mean, yeah.
Who's the monster now?
Yes, that is the question.
Anyway, I actually this morning was re-listening to a little bit, and I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like Sim City or something like that. It's like Sim Pass, where you're like, well, you know, what should we let bleed through? And then the thing is, after 5 years, you just reset and start a new level where you redo it again. And so you can kind of like, you know, you could try as many different ways as you want. So I kind of wish that had been
Right. Their 500th or something like that.
Yeah, or that they had somehow, we had seen like two or three iterations, or at least they had kind of like given a little bit of detail, like, well, this time, because they kind of, you know, said, well, a couple of bad things happened the first time they did it.
Sure.
And so now he's trying to, you know, so it would have been interesting to have kind of like, well, this time when they came back, they gave everyone all this technology and it just totally, you know, was awesome, or it was totally turned out horribly or whatever.
Right. But the reason that they don't give people the technology immediately is not out of any, you know, prime directive type of thing. They just don't want to screw up their theme park.
Right. And that's, right, in fact, why they close it, is because it gets contaminated after 5 years or so.
I mean, how many revisions of, you know, Tomorrowland do you need at Disney, right? Mm-hmm. That's really what I was thinking of, is, you know, really that's the future, bringing, you know, like a city back is Tomorrowland at Disneyland.
Right.
People that, today are just still sort of intermingling around, and there are a number of people that are wearing, you know, Velcro-based bodices and bustles wandering around. And, you know, there's some black market, you know, iPhone 35, you know, that they have available.
Right,
you
can buy, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny that they, you know, that one of the big black market items besides Oakley's, and, you know, I guess we haven't even talked about the main thing, was the Glocks and other handguns from the future, but
right,
the iPods and iPhones, I guess the iPods really, and like
and tasers.
And tasers. Well, that was theirs, but yeah, and the solar chargers to go with them, which I thought, right, well, at least they have that instead of like a hand crank or something like that. And of course, it makes it seem even more like the future, where it's like, you just put it out in the sun. How could this possibly work? You know?
Yeah, I was sort of surprised. First of all, I was kind of surprised that they hadn't gone further into the future for their base camp, shall we say. In other words,
oh, 2032.
I didn't catch the exact year, at least for a while. And so my wife and I were talking, and I just kept on saying, yeah, all this stuff that they're marveling about actually is kind of crappy by our standards. It's just like, it's this card key, and then you can go, right, around and use anything you want. And it's, and then, you know, oh, trade in your card key. I'm just like, why don't they just, you know, like re-key it? You know, why doesn't he just, right, say, okay, swipe, you know, now you have grant, now we've granted you access.
We wouldn't want to bring ARFID programmers back into the past, right?
Right. Cause then, you know, RFID could, you know, would have been wiped out from the past. Or we would have somehow had, you know, yes, so, you know, that's the only technology that somehow gets through. And so, you know, it's just like, all right, now I've got RFIDs on all my bullets.
So, yeah, and then kind of towards the end, it very quickly swerves into this sort of like, you know, gang San Francisco late 1800s crime drama. And where we kind of meet his sister who had been hurt, you know, kind of a little flashback of,
right,
of, you know, his childhood in the brothel, basically. And, mm-hmm, you know, which I guess that was another kind of, you know, oh, this, the bad stuff happened to me, which was true.
Right.
But it was kind of like a run of the mill bad stuff, not like some crazy.
You're saying it was normal for Chinatown and
well, Kevin 1800s. Is calling upon his considerable expertise in this matter.
Well, I can't talk about any time travel technology I may or may not have, but
well, it is in the past now. So
yes, I don't know. The statute of limitations is pretty long for time travel.
Yeah. Let's see. So was there any tea? Not that I recall.
I thought there might've been tea when he went back to visit his aunt and his sister.
Okay.
I'm not totally sure, but they had some fine dining experience, so that would probably be the most likely tea, unless it was from the future, because everyone had coffee, I think, from, you know, in the towers.
Important. Okay. what character would you want to be, and or who would you be?
Jesse?
I guess, Jesse. I think I would want to be his partner. What is her name? Oh, yes, Elizabeth DePaul. Actually, I kind of liked it a little bit more in the beginning when they were just partners and they hadn't quite, you know, consummated their relationship yet.
Yeah, I mean, that was like one of the things you kind of saw coming from about a mile away.
Right. Well, of course, it's just like, okay, you know, and you found her, you know, didn't find her attractive. Well, he found her a little bit attractive. Okay, she was really attractive.
It was all the Velcro.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, even the ending was... You, that was, you know, my only detractor was, you know, where you're like, oh, okay, when is he going to go through the mirror?
Yeah.
About halfway through the book, especially when they're like, and yep, no one ever, never, 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 never from the past will go through the mirror to the future. You're like, okay, when's he going through? You know, it wasn't bad. It was just sort of like one of those things where you're like, it will be a surprise if this doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a book that telegraphed its punches, but was, I don't think that made it any weaker.
It wasn't bad, and it wasn't like, oh God, when is this going to happen? It was more like, well, I'm pretty sure this is going to happen.
Right. I would have been little bit disappointed, although I would have kind of respected it if they had just sort of had him stay in the past and been this tragic figure. Would have gone very well with Scott Brick's sort of tragic reading of it.
Well, also, I will say this is another example of not like trying to change the past causes it, but it's like the whole reason like that the last half actually happens is because what was his name? Kemp or whatever. The leader guy doesn't let Jesse through the last gate, you know, when his sister's basically being cared for after. Right. And so it's like, if he had let him through that time, then for sure that, you know, the cell phone of all the pictures that he's trying to keep of like the past, you know, that are not politically good for, you know, him in the future.
Right.
That would have, you know, stayed in the pocket of the security guard that, you know, they didn't get along with, and
right.
He wouldn't have gone out taking new pictures of, you know, the Union troops or whatever of the government troops attacking the city of futurity with their mortars and stuff, which I thought actually was another good striking image of the book that was, right. You know, it's kind of like this image of the 1800s attacking the 2032 wall that they put up and stuff. And
yeah, I wonder if that was sort of the image that he started with. A lot of these books sort of start with some image that they kind of like. And so maybe it was sort of this old timey sheriff type of guy with Oakley sunglasses or.
Yeah. But yeah, that was definitely where, you know, he's up on the top floor of, you know, one of the towers and, you know, with this big view, and he could just see off in the distance, you know, the army basically bombarding, trying to get into the city. And yeah, that was one of the images that I remember pretty clearly.
So one of the things that I liked was this idea that since they had brought back so much technology from the future, that they felt bad about leaving Edison in the lurch. And so
yeah,
they actually had him come and give speeches. And also, of course, then they make all kinds of money by having people from the future get to meet Edison.
Right. And that was actually kind of funny because Kemp is talking to Jesse and he's like, and we're going to bring Edison and we, you know, some future science guy to talk to him. And we're going to do this and it's going to be great. And he's like, so, you know, you're going to make money off him. And Kemp for a second, he's basically like, what? And then he's like, oh, ha ha ha. Well, yeah, but you know, that's not the only reason. I do feel a little bit bad for real. Like, you know,
I thought Kemp was a well-drawn character. He was somebody you could just sympathize with, but was an asshole.
Right. And then at the very end, when he's basically like, you know, my daughter ran off with this, like, you know, revolutionary guy, you know, we got to find what happens. And it basically turns out when they finally track him down, they're like, well, why would we want to stay back in the past?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for showing up. You're our ride.
We've been waiting. Yeah. It's not like we made any secret of where we were hiding out. Just thinking about it now, it kind of reminded me of the classic trope of you invented transparent aluminum, you know, or you right. know, from Star Trek.
Right.
So, you know, or, you know, the trans warp beaming equation, which is, I guess, part of the reboot, but.
Okay. Yeah.
Like they kind of did that to Edison, right? It's like, look, you're going to invent the light bulb, but.
Sorry for your patent, but we won't mention those.
Yeah.
They're sort of like patent trolls from the future or whatever. I guess the opposite, but.
Yes. Oh, one of my possible witty segs was, you know, to get from our non-spoiler section to our spoiler section was that future versions of ourselves had come back in time and uploaded this episode already, so we didn't actually have to do it.
It's a good thing you didn't format the card.
In this fork, it doesn't matter. Like,
nope.
I won't say this is exactly an alternate history. I guess de facto, it makes alternate histories, but it, you know, it doesn't change their past, but it's, you know, it's one of the two or three books that we've, you know, done episodes on that have like alternate US histories. I don't know that it's like a growing genre, but I don't know that I was really that aware of this possible subgenre before.
For weird reasons, we're becoming experts in it.
It's like Crooked, Paradox Bound. And I think there was one other one that we may have read that
Well, technically replay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a certain replay aspect to having Edison be kind of this, you know, somewhat well-known guy, but not, you know, the superstar that he would be a little bit later.
Right. They're like, they basically made him happy by saying, well, we feel bad, so talk to these people and here's a boatload of money. He's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yes. All right. Well, was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
I would have gone back in time and made DC the prevailing electricity source.
Oh, I thought you meant the comics.
No. And not AC/DC either.
Well, yeah. I mean, so then you'd have to kill Edison.
And?
I mean, would you shock him to death?
Well, instead of the elephant, maybe.
Yeah.
Dance, Edison, dance.
I think I missed something.
So one of the reasons that we have AC current to our houses rather than DC is because Edison went around promoting his standard of AC current. And at least in theory, one of the demonstrations that he did was electrocuting an elephant to death with it. With DC current.
So okay. To prove that his was better. Yeah.
Yes.
DC. No, I'd heard the doing electrocutions to show how dangerous that other kind was, but I didn't know it was an elephant. So
it brought down the mighty elephant.
I'm not really remembering the exact reference on this. I'm vaguely remembering that might not have quite happened the way that it's popularly.
Is it apocryphal? Well,
in one of the forks, it's how it happened. It's so we'll just say that.
Well, I think that our secret has been revealed that we're actually time travelers from the future. Shh. Here.
To the mirror.
Yeah. Being tourists in America's darkest portion of its timeline. So we need to get back through the mirror before the locals break in and take all of our stuff. So until next time, we have been Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Futurity.
Don't blow our cover.
Oops. Sci-Fi.